This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The title of the book is Dreamality, and our author is Sean Bozy. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your cover also reads that while writing it, it helped you understand a much deeper meaning of life, and I trust it will have a profound impact on your life and your future decisions in life as well. You've written 120 pages. What was the inspiration behind putting this book together and in print?
You know, the motivation came 15 years ago, actually. And I thought when I started my business, my fence business, my goal was to have, you know, make a lot of money that first year so I could take an entire year off and write a book. And it just eventually became my business grew. Upright Fences, Downright Patios Incorporated grew. You know, we did almost $700,000 in sales in 2007. And I was writing and writing and writing, but never just collaborating the thoughts together into a book. I was just writing and writing whenever I could, you know?
Yes.
And eventually, when I injured myself, then I was able to try to gather all those thoughts together and you know, put them together into this book. And I'd have to say I've learned now that in the second book that I am going to write, for sure, Jay, I'm going to make sure that I outline things and I have characters in play and have a plot and a theme. But in this book, what I did was just write because I felt like this was God commanding me to write.
Would you describe this as a novel or as a nonfiction?
It's a nonfiction, but the title Dreamality is when the dreams and reality merge as one. So the disclaimer has to be in, you know, nonfiction, because some of the book is not factual, but much of the book is factual, and in some instances, the dreams and the reality merge as one, and that's where the title came from.
You open up your book by talking about a letter that you received from Hawaii. Tell us about that story.
Oh, excellent. I forgot about that. It was an amazing experience. I started pursuing my dream, and my favorite author at the time, and still one of my, you know, dear loved authors for me, is Dan Millman. And, you know, when I read The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, I was struggling in life. I was in college at the University of Florida. I was drinking a lot because I, you know, had a relationship that had gone sour. And the court had mandated me, you know, to go to AA, and it was a good thing for me at the time, especially. So here I am, you know, at the number 3-party school in the nation, and I'm hanging out with all sober, really cool college people. And it was an amazing experience for me at that time frame, you know.
Tell me about your understanding or your interpretation of the word freedom and not freedom.
Well, some of the premise of this book is just, I think, some of the things that we've been taught, some of the desires that we have in our heart, it just, those desires, how those fragments of thoughts that people have pushed onto us and said, this is where you need to go. And somehow in the whole process of that, Jay, we forgot about God as the founding father of this country, this land. And we forgot about angels, and we forgot about prayer and using that as a tool. We're humans. God made us humans for a reason. And I think we've been desensitized by all these thoughts and glamour of what we need to pursue, as opposed to just listening to what God directs us to do, following our hearts. And go back to your first question about the Hawaii experience, Jay. I kind of lost frame of thought of the question with maybe a little bit of nervousness and excitement of this book, but I went to see, you know, my favorite author, Dan Millman, in Maui in 2007, and I was pursuing my dream of writing. It was a writer's conference that was held at one of the resorts, one of the beautiful resorts there, and eventually, I got a letter in the mail that you had referenced, and I don't ever get the mail. My operations manager at the time was always the one to go through it, and she would put it in different files and categories for me. And the ones that I needed to see, I would see. Otherwise, sometimes she was even signing my name and sending stuff out for me. That's how busy life was. But that particular day was a really, really difficult day for me. I wrote about it in the book, and a letter came from Hawaii, and I found out that I had made the paper there. And it was a beautiful experience. But while being there, while pursuing my dreams, talk about God's pace, Jay. I don't know if you know much about my book, but it's those things that you can't plan even if you wanted to. When those things happen in your life, if you recognize them, that's, to me, God's pace. That's his plan for your life, you know?
Absolutely.
And for me, Jay, when I was there in Hawaii, I was walking into a conference room at the same time that Dan Millman was. We walked into the door together, and the greeter looked at Dan Millman and said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, I'm about to present." And I'm standing there, and I'm like, "Well, I'm about to see him present. How you doing, Dan? You know, I'm trying to get this, make some good time with my author there." And go to find out that we had both walked into the wrong conference room at the resort. So, you know, obviously everyone's human, but he's going there to speak. He's going to the wrong room, and I'm going to see him speak, and I'm going to that same wrong room. That led to the understanding that this book has to get out there because it's God's pace. That's me pursuing something, and then all of a sudden, why are we two in that doorway at that particular point in time?
This reminds me of an internet-based blog titled God Winks, and this has one of those similar realities to it, one of those unexplained coincidences. You've coined the phrase dreamality. What does that mean to you?
Well, for me, it was the dream of becoming an author, a dream of pursuing my business, and by living the dream and by living the reality, which was taking the footsteps to go door-to-door with my business, to eventually being in 65 towns, to eventually, you know, having sales in the $700,000 range with 19-year-old secretaries in Portland Wood from China. I mean, it's amazing what you can do when you just have the desire to do it. And at the same point in time, somehow this book came from it. And you know, I hope the readers love the book. I hope they can't put it down. And I hope, you know, I can get the second book out there to do what I really want to do, which is actively change and help change the philosophy of this world. I think the more humans, Jay, that can pray and live by good guidance and live within, like, their own spirits, the better off that we are. And if you look around, and a lot of people are, the world needs a lot of help.
I don't disagree with that. I think most of our listeners would also agree with you. Who do you think is going to enjoy reading your book and benefit from it?
Now, I think that anyone that reads it will benefit from it, no matter what age group, no matter what your life, because it's the way that it's written is it's from my heart. It's about my desires, and it's a blend of what I really was paying attention to in my life. And I think if people do what I had done, which was pursue your heart, at the same time pay attention and pray and listen, I think if anyone does that, they'll be so much happier where they're at 3 or 4 years later in life. That not only that, I think we'll have an understanding of why angels respond and why God made us as humans. Because, Jay, here's the thing. I had a German Shepherd when I was young. We went on vacation. We put the German Shepherd in the basement. Now, my neighbors came, gave it food, everything, but that German Shepherd, after that particular vacation, would not ever go in that basement again, for whatever reason. Now, as humans, though, with this brain that God has provided for us, for some reason, we want to keep going back. We keep want to repeating some of our errors. I know I have. I do. I look at politicians, and I'm looking at stuff from 200 years ago that happened in society, 500 years ago that happened in society. You go all the way back to Egypt, and there was corruption, and there was mafia, or, you know, higher noble elite people. It's the same demographics that we have now. And we killed the only human that represented God. We did. You know, and if humans can understand that we were given brains for a reason, and not to be not to use it as deceit, and not to use it in coercion, and to use it in faith, and to use it in prayer, because God and angels are not going to respond to, I don't feel that they're going to respond to people that don't pray. And honestly, I pray, Jay, I do pray for people that say that they don't need a God, because I don't understand that philosophy. And I wish that, you know, I wrote about this in the book, I wish children didn't have to go to the second floor to say the Pledge of Allegiance and to use the term God and to say some prayers. Like, children are being separated to do that in our school.
That's sad.
It is sad. And coaches are getting, the children that are out there in playing football, watching their coaches get tackled by some random dad, or watching some ref get tackled and punched, and you know, all this ultimate fighting. I grew up a fighter. I'm Italian. Go Rocky Balboa, you know. I mean, I used Balboa Press because I was such a Rocky fan, you know, Jay?
Mm-hmm.
But Rocky is a different story than the message that we're sending out now to people. And 10 or 15 years from now, I think if we keep sending this message out, we won't have to wonder why we have more batteries and more hostile crime in our countries and in our nations, because people are seeing it more.
They definitely are. And you have 13 chapters. Some of the titles are It's a Sign, Faster Than a Speeding Bullet, God's Furiery, Confronted by Scripture, Life of Mirrors, Believing is Seeing, The Slow Economy, and more. Which of those is your most favorite of chapters?
You know, I really like The Life of Mirrors, and I like it. It's short, it's brief, it's about what I was just referencing. It's about looking at our past, about trying to move forward and making your lives better. And if we do that as humans, we understand the mirrors that are actually there, and the reflections that we're seeing aren't always as truthful as what we think it's going to be. It's mirrors. It's there's one image. If you surround yourself in a room with a bunch of them, there's going to be a bunch of images. Well, which one is reality? Which one is the truth? And the truth, I believe, is the best-selling book is the Bible, and I believe that's the truth. I think we should read it more. I think we should trust more, and I think our government should understand that the country is founded in Him. And if we try to, Ezekiel in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 12, it says, and I came across this just yesterday, Jay, but it says, "And you shall know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are around you." And I read this book now, and I'm amazed at the references that the society right here, right where we are, Jay.
And it's contemporary. It works for today, doesn't it?
It works for everybody that reads it. I know that. And I hope my book does the same in a different respect, because I truly believe God orientated my life around what happened so that I would write it. Like the Wolf on Wall Street. I'm the Wolf on Wall Street, but at a much smaller version. I never had a yacht and a helicopter, you know?
Right. It'd be difficult to float a boat in Chicago this time of year. It's February and cold and icy.
Right, right.
How would you introduce this book to someone? What would be your way to recommend they need to get a hold of a copy of this?
I would just ask them to look around, look at their family values, and ask them if they think they could take the time to read 100 and some odd pages that open their hearts up to what might be a different philosophy that in a short period of time changes will come to play. Prayers that you have will be answered faster than you can imagine, especially if your faith and your heart are there. And I believe that this book is kind of like it's a segue to it. It's a key that helps unlock the door, you know.
You've mentioned storms and even earthquakes in your book. How do those affect your writing and this story that you've put together?
Well, it's one of the bases of my book is that the negative attitudes and the negative behaviors of humans is actually what leads to more and more of these quakes and storms. And to me, it's an eye-opening situation for people to be able to look at and maybe even conceptualize that, hey, if I lose my temper today, and everyone else is losing their temper today, and there's all this fights and all this negative behavior going on, well, does that help at all heat up the core of the Earth by any way at all? And I would have to say that it does. In some respect, somehow, some way, we're 70-some-odd percent water, all humans are. There's all the water that's around us, Jay. And I believe that our molecules, our own thoughts, our actions do lead to all these things, whether it's pollution or whether it's just the way that the world is designed. It's happening, and we're seeing it. And I think if people backtrack and pray more and actually live off a good culture and good values, not only will our pollution and stuff stop, but everything else will stop as a result. And this one world philosophy will become more of a reality.
I think that's a good philosophy to live by. Was there anything that was challenging about putting your book together?
At the end, because I had written so much, Jay, that I didn't have the chapter titles. I didn't have the characters necessarily. I just had a bunch of writing, and I had to read through and go through. I lost some writings with the virus that I had on a computer. It was difficult for me at that time just to collaborate everything together and give the presentation that I felt like I needed to for my first book.
And you have succeeded. 120 pages. The title of the book is Dreamality. Our author, Sean Bozy. Sean, tell me, where can our listeners get a copy of your book?
Well, I know right now Balboa Press, we're starting a national ad campaign, and the website currently is Gods. It's gods-pace.com, and that's going to be my author website where my blog and everything about me, we're going to expand it as this national ad campaign develops and as the book begins to sell. And the more and more work and energy that I put behind it, you know, the more and more this website will expand.
Fabulous. And you are writing another book or planning to?
Yes, I'm currently writing another book already.
Well, congratulations on that effort. This book is titled Dreamality. Sean Bozy has been our guest, and for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Dix of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear these latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4 or 3 Central on toginet.com. Juliana is a marriage, family, and child therapist who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you. Here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on the show and Juliana, check out her webpage. Connect with Juliana in media.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune into TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet. to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing, Inspiring Voices. This is J. Douglas Barker. Our author today is Greg Spencer. He's written a book titled In Him. This is Greg's first book, and we welcome Greg to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your book cover, In Him, has a wine goblet and some communion wafers on the cover. From observation, I would probably assume this is written for a traditional Christian or religious audience. Tell me why you wrote this book.
Well, I wrote this book primarily because as I've, in my own personal life and in my travels, where I've been in South Africa, Nicaragua, Europe, several other places, that I have found that the church at large is missing or seems to come short of what the Lord has provided for us. We're not living the fullness of what Jesus Christ came into this world, died, and gave himself for us to have.
So this is a devotional book and primarily designed or written for people who are people of faith.
That's true. And week number one, though, we do cover, I feel like, the greatest thing that we can experience in the Lord is taken care of in week number one. We discussed that, and that is being born again. And once we make that step, then I want to use the word too mongrel, but there's this great life that the Lord has provided for us, and that we need to learn what that is and begin to walk that out.
This devotional book covers one per week for a total of 52. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes.
So it's a once-a-week devotional.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
What prompted you to want to do this in the first place? What inspired you?
Well, my life probably was the first inspiration of it. As I look back over it, I'm now 64 years old. And as I look back over my life, I was born again when I was 17, and I didn't understand what the Lord had done and what he had made me to be in Christ Jesus. And as I looked back over my life, as in my adult life, I thought, you know, I was kind of in and out, up and down. I read about the Old Testament, and the Old Testament, the children of Israel, how their whole life for hundreds of years, they was with the Lord, then they was away from the Lord, and they was back and forth and back and forth. And as I looked at that, I seen that my life was the same way. And I thought, this is not what Christ died and rose again for us to be. You know, he made us something more than that. And then as I began to study scripture and the Lord began to reveal to me just exactly what Jesus Christ did, it's such an awesome thing that he did. And then as I went, as I said before, as I went into different countries and even in my own community, I found that people are a whole lot like I was, and maybe still am. I'm still learning. I'm not trying to say I've popped out yet, but I'm still learning. But I'm in the water. I'm not on the bank. And so I found that the church at large is falling short of the life that Jesus Christ has provided for them.
Greg, take a moment and describe the process of writing your book. Where did these ideas come from, and how did they get put together into book form?
Well, I'm not going to pretend that I got it all. I feel like the Lord has really inspired me in this area, and for many years, I feel like that's my call, is to help and encourage the body of Christ and learning who they are in Christ, is knowing what Jesus did when he came into this world, what he accomplished for us.
Greg, do you think your book will have a broad range of appeal to those who are people of faith?
I hope so. I hope so. I feel like that all of us can glean from it. And I'm not saying that I've exhausted this topic, because there's still more. And what I want to do is, I hope this whets somebody's whistle or makes them thirsty for more of the Lord, and it will begin their pursuit after Him.
What one insight did you receive in putting the book together that you think is perhaps the greatest inspirational thought that you had?
Well, I think that we as believers, let me just go back a little bit. You know, in the beginning when God created Adam, He created man, Adam and Eve in the beginning, He gave them dominion over all the earth. He told them, He said, you take dominion and you subdue it. And when Adam failed, he lost that. And some 4,000 years later, along comes this God-man named Jesus Christ. And it took that length of time for this whole plan to come together. And when He came into the world, He set all of that back right. And I think if we really search the Scripture, we find out that we have authority in Christ. The Lord told us before He left, He said, the things that I've done, greater things will you do. He also told us that He has given us His Spirit to live within inside us. And He told us that we would lay our hands on the sick, that we would cast out devils, that we would raise the dead, and so forth and so on. He's instructed us in many areas of Scripture where we see this type of life. He's telling us about this type of life and this authority that we have. We have His Word. We're covered with His blood. We have His Spirit. And so He's empowered us to live this life. And I look at that and I'm thinking, is the church doing that? If we're going to demonstrate the power of God, if we're going to be like Paul and we move in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit, then we must understand who we are in Him. And we need to walk that out. We need to demonstrate that to a world that desperately needs to see Jesus.
Let me ask you a question that comes up in observing other people of faith. Does God bless us because we are more devoted or better than others, or is He just bless us because that's His nature?
That's a great question. That is an excellent question. And I think that God loves us. I've heard this quote before. He said, God loves us because He loves us because He loves us. You know, there's nothing that we can do that warrants God's love. He loves us simply because that's His nature. He loves us. And if we're good, He loves us. If we're bad, He loves us. And what He's really wanting is for us to reciprocate that love and for us to love Him back. God gave all of us, all of mankind has been given a free will. Probably the greatest thing that the Lord gave us was our free will. And what He wants back from us is for us to love Him because we want to love Him.
And why do you think God wants us to avoid what I would call the vices that are surrounding us?
Well, I think that when we are pulled in to vices, then that takes us away. How I can best explain this, I guess, like this. You know, I was teaching a class the other night, and I said, you know, we're kind of like a computer memory. We can only hold it so much. And if we put stuff in, then we don't have much room for the God things. But if we'll put more of God in us, then there won't be much room for stuff. And so it's like the old thing in, you know, bad in is bad out. Good in is good out. So what we need to do is to be filled with Him. And then we can avoid a lot of the stuff that's really not necessary.
Not only that, but from my observation, I have family members who have made choices that have had negative impacts on their lives and on their present and their future. Besides the warning signs, there are also some positive and good reasons why we should avoid some choices that are negative and harmful to our personal lives.
Uh-huh, yes.
How long did it take you to write your book? How long did it take to complete it?
Well, I've had notes. These have been a lot of my, I drew from a lot of my notes that I had been teaching over the years, but to actually sit down and write the book, it took me about 7 months.
Greg, what's the message you want people to take away from reading this devotional?
Well, one thing, I don't know if I could pin it down to one thing except for maybe the title of the book, is that we really grasp who God has made us in His Son, Jesus. really get a hold of that, because in him, the scripture says that in him we are complete. And for us to live the life that Christ came into this world and died and rose again for us to have, we need to understand, first of all, who Christ is, what he done, and then who we are in him. Because it's in him we live, move, and have our being. And in the final thought of my book, at the very end of it, I wrote this in the first paragraph, and it says, when the Bible speaks of being in Christ, it's more than just agreeing with that statement and giving it mental consent. Satan himself believes in God. A matter of fact, he has seen the Almighty in all his splendor and glory, but refuses to submit to him as such. And I think that the one thing that we need to really get a hold of is that we need to submit ourselves to the Lord. I'm not saying, and a lot of people might say, well, you know, that's easier said than done. We have a will, and it's really what we're wanting. We all do exactly what we want to do. And if we want to live the life that Jesus Christ died and rose for us again, the great adventure, then we've got to submit ourselves. We've got to trust him that he knows best about our life. Let him guide it and give ourselves to him.
Greg, any challenges in putting your book together? This is your first authorship. Was there anything that was challenging?
Well, I guess the most challenging thing for me was just to pull the reins up and say, okay, that's enough right there. It's easy for me to do. The Lord has really gifted me, and I'm not bragging it. In fact, I'm bragging on him, if anything. This is my call, and I know that. And he's gifted me in this area to be able to speak to this. I'm not the best speaker, but the Lord has given me these words and this message to give out. And so for me, a lot of times it's for me to just say, okay, let's just stop right here. I know, and a lot of times when I'm teaching class, it's my inability to stop. It seems like whenever the Lord is giving me something to say, it's just like I want to just keep going with it. It's just I don't know. I'm rambling on about that, but it's something that the Lord has really gifted me, and people that each one of us that have that gift or whatever your gift might be. You know, it just kind of rolls out of you, and sometimes hard stop. So hopefully, I feel like it's a good length, and I think that the body of Christ, if they'll give it a chance, they can glean from this.
Greg, thank you for sharing your insight and the background story of the book that you've written, In Him, a 1-year devotional, one devotional per week, 168 pages. Thank you for joining us today. Where can we get a copy of your book?
Well, right now it's available through Inspiring Voices. It's also available at Barnes & Nobles. And I'm sure it's going to be available in other places also. You could probably order it from any bookstore. Not all bookstores has got it stocked right now, but Barnes & Nobles does, Inspiring Voices, their website. But if your bookstore don't carry it, you ask them to order it for you.
Listeners can also do a web search under your name, Greg Spencer, spelled S-P-E-N-C-E-R. Thank you, Greg, for joining us today.
Thank you.
For Indie Book Publishing, Inspiring Voices, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. Joining me from Helsinki is an author who has written 8 Steps to Me, Finding Wisdom Within. And I welcome to the program Perko Tavila. Perko, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
This book is a self-discovery book in some regard. In the intro to the book, you talk about music and how that we are all blended notes, and we have the positive, the upbeat notes, and some are darker themes that enter our lives. Tell me why you wrote this book. What was the motivation behind it?
Actually, first of all, I wanted to feel better myself, and I wanted to love my work. And I already liked my work, but that wasn't enough. For some reason, I kept feeling really sick and tired all the time, and I was really stressed out all the time. So I really guessed that I had a secret dream of a more meaningful work that wouldn't stress me out so much.
You talk about divine breath, water, stretch. What are those elements that you're referring to?
It's just basic things that we need to be doing in order to feel good. They are very easy steps. I know it feels like, okay, we breathe every day and we drink water every day, but the way we do it can really make a difference in the way we get to live this life. If we breathe properly, we think clearly.
Good advice. I have found lately that I have been doing shallow breathing, which may account for my shallow communication skills at times. I don't know if that's what's causing it or not, but it could be. You talk about body, mind, and soul, the Three Musketeers guide. Expand on that for me.
Because we are sort of so much more than... Many people think that we are just a mind, or just that we get better only by eating broccoli, and it's like no matter how much broccoli you eat, if you feel bad, if you feel like your life doesn't make any difference, it's impossible to feel well, and it's impossible to find, like we talk about happiness, whatever, however you want to define that word, but... Like body may give us strength and stamina, and with a clear mind, we find peacefulness, mindfulness, and then when we are in align with our soul, it feels like we have a meaningful life. We have a purpose. We feel like we make a difference.
Discuss nutrition and what you've discovered and are sharing in your book.
Nutrition to me, first of all, the way I was taught, it's both nutrition for the body, for ourselves, and it's also nutrition for the mind and the soul. So it's like we can be hungry for love, and we may be hungry for proteins, right?
Yes.
So it's about having, when we only talk about the food for the body, I strongly believe that if we keep eating things that are whole and look like food, we feel good. If it doesn't look like food, or if it doesn't sound like food, it ain't food.
Yes. In Finland, what is the preferred diet?
Actually, I don't think we have... There's diets come and go, right?
Yes.
But we always had a lot of milk products, because we have a long winter time, and the crops don't. We only have one crop for the whole year for starters. So we eat a lot from. We eat carrots. We eat turnips. We eat different kind of vegetables, but we lack a lot of fresh stuff.
Interesting.
And we are very lucky today that we get. You know, green vegetables, for instance, from other parts of the world. But I guess we still eat like Finns always ate. It's in wintertime, lots of stews and soups. And yeah, so there's no like specific diet.
Nothing specific. Your book is written for What market? Who do you think will enjoy reading this and benefit from reading the book, 8 Steps to Me?
People who feel bad, who feel like they lack inspiration, and they feel, like I said, I felt sick and tired, and I guess I wrote this to other people who feel sick and tired, who want to find inspiration.
And what was the first step in getting out of being sick and tired?
It's actually about becoming more present and conscious. And with the, if we talk about the steps in the book, it's about starting to breathe. And that brings us present and more conscious. Breathe properly, I mean. You
yes.
know, not just keep alive by taking little... huffing and puffing. It's about breathing with the you know, all using all our lungs.
Breathing might also encompass our mental energy as well. Is that also a good concept?
Yes, absolutely. Because when we breathe properly, that means that our brain gets oxygen, and oxygen in the brain means brighter thoughts, right?
Yes. And divine water. Explain your concept or your idea about water. Mm-hmm.
Well, it all starts really from us being 70% water, the planet being 70% water, and everything, living being mostly water. So, and we use a lot of water just by living. Even asleep, we sweat and we use a lot of water, and we don't realize how much we need to. That we need to keep drinking to keep the balance. When we get thirsty, that means that we are already dehydrated.
You also mentioned something about fear and the importance of movement. You say that fear is physical, and so is every other feeling. What have scientists discovered about that?
Well, we don't even really have to go as far as to scientists, because whenever we feel embarrassed, we blush, right?
Yes.
And whenever we feel fear, it feels somewhere in the body. Somebody feels it in the tummy. Somebody feels it in, you know, it's a tight feeling in your body. And it might even lead to feeling like I cannot even move. So that's very, that it's very real to us. So I very many times, I like to take examples from our own lives so that we don't have to remember anybody's studies. We just have to listen to our body and see for ourselves.
You share this verse in your book. Are you ready to expect and accept abundance in your life? Do you accept it your divine birthright to live in a flow of bliss and prosperity? Do you realize your energetic role in the collective wellness, the universal well-being? Unless you dare to love yourself, you won't be able to love anybody else. Good thought, good words. How would you introduce this book to someone who doesn't know about you or your writing?
I would introduce my book as being a self-help tool that doesn't take a long time to read. It's more like just grab it and see how it feels. I don't believe in coincidences. If somebody finds this book, first of all, I don't think it's a coincidence. It's an easy read, and it helps you right away. You can start taking the steps, the very easy steps while reading. You cannot really, when you read about the first step, you cannot help but start breathing, I don't think. That was my aim.
Yes. You've also included some basic recipes in your book. This is a well-rounded read.
Yeah. Actually, there's only one recipe, just to show that it can be easy. Of course, in that specific recipe, I use a blender and I have a juicer, but we don't have to go that far as to purchase something, some new gadgets. We can just start, you know, start having fruit and vegetables.
And more than a book to get people off of the couch and eating and living better, this is also a book that you try to inspire people to make positive steps. Was that also one of your goals?
I would say so, because when we start taking care of ourselves, I talk about loving ourselves. Life just gets better step by step. We start experiencing love. We start living life in a fuller sort of mode. And yes, things start getting easier. I'm not saying that there won't be problems anymore. I have problems. I will have problems until the day that I die, I think, because that's just what life is about, right? Ups and downs. Yes. But the thing is that once you feel well, you don't fall quite so deep and you get up faster. And that's the whole point. That's why one very important reason why I wrote this book is that my readers would realize that even in the middle of a very big storm, I mean, life sometimes can hit really hard, that even in the middle of a very big storm, we can see sort of that it'll be over sooner or later, and sooner or later we will also see what we gained from that storm.
Good thought. Sometimes when I'm in a very stressful situation, if I'm by myself or in a car, I will raise my voice and say, this is only temporary. And we need to realize that as humans. This is a temporary thing that we're involved in and perhaps challenged with.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. It doesn't feel temporary when if, for instance, we lose someone we love or somebody important to us gets severely sick or you know, whatever happens, it's hard to remember those wise words in the middle of it.
Absolutely,
but,
is.
But sooner or later, we will see that we became, if nothing else, we became stronger after that.
How is your book different from others in the marketplace that deal with nutrition and health and a positive attitude?
If I was in the situation where I was a few years ago, I would be really pleased to find such a fast and easy read book. So it's, even if it's fast and easily read, it's still a full-scale self-help tool. So the steps are simple and you can start taking the first healing steps right away while reading. It's a love yourself book that can be read without having a background of reading a lot of self-help books.
Well, self-help and self-love with easy steps, that's a great idea. Thank you for sharing that. 104 pages, very, very nicely done. Was there a challenging part of putting this together?
Actually, it's always challenging to be open about one's own history, especially the hard times. It's challenging. But other than that, I just felt that I wanted to sort of lend a hand so it became meaningful to share.
Thank you for sharing that with us today. The name of the book, or the title again, is 8 Steps to Me, Finding Wisdom Within. Our guest, Perko Tavila. Thank you for joining me today. And where do we get copies of your book?
Amazon is the easiest way to do it. And it can be ordered in bookstores around the world. So, but Amazon is, I guess, the easiest way to start.
And you also have a website as a health coach, don't you? And the title?
Yes, I do. That's eatbenow.com.
All right, eatbenow.com. Thank you for sharing that. And are you planning to do an additional book in the future?
Yes, actually, I think it will be in Finnish, my mother tongue, next. And then we will see about English again. But I've been asked to write in Finnish.
Thank you for sharing time with us today and sharing the details about the book, 8 Steps to Me, Finding Wisdom Within. Perko Tavila, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.